Hi, I'm Alfie Reft, one of the assistants for our USA Women's National Team, and you're listening to the USA Volleyball Show.
City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show. We are the official podcast of USA Volleyball. Hope you guys are all doing well. Thank you for tuning into another show. And this time, I'd actually like to welcome back USA Volleyball's communication manager, BJ Heppner Evans. BJ, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Clarence. Thanks so much. It's good to be back.
I see you're in a little bit of a different location right now at the time of the recording. What's going on over there?
I am at the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Training Center here in Colorado Springs. We're here for our boys' spring training series through our national team development program.
Very exciting. Very exciting. You're over there. I'm over here in Orlando gearing up for Sunshine. And at the time, Sunshine Classic, for those of you who are aware of that qualifier, which all of you listening should probably be aware of that too. And hectic going on for setup. And then over the weekend, just going to be, a volleypalooza, like we like to say, and kind of getting into it for the episode. But yeah, what's going on in your life, BJ? What's new?
Gosh, it seems like the media has remembered earlier than usual that the Olympics are this year, and I'm getting a lot of requests for our athletes from media across the country, which is really exciting. I think Paris is going to be one of the best games we've had in a long time, and I'm really excited for it. How about you?
Same old here, coaching on my end and doing a whole bunch of other stuff there too. But man, I bet you're going to have such a good time in Paris. The fact there's actually going to be spectators this time too, with fans and a whole audience is there too. I bet the energy is going to be insane. I'm totally jealous for you that you get to go ahead and travel and, do all the fun stuff there.
I'm hoping it's a full 180 from Tokyo where, silence reigned. I want family, friends, fans, super excited to see our teams competing there.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, we'll just be following along over our websites and social media and stuff there too. But, I want to look to your social media too, for all the inside scoop and your take on a lot of the things there too. So yeah, I'm wishing you the best of luck there. And I know it's getting ready to be right into that busy season for you guys as well.
Yeah, super busy. We have this event going on here at the training center this week, and then we start getting ready for Volleyball Nations League, which is coming up for our indoor teams, and our beach teams are also competing this week in Doha. So yeah, we have a lot to keep track of.
A whole lot to keep track of. All right. You want to go ahead and jump into a little recap of our last episode?
Sure. So if you missed our last episode, go back and check it out. In episode 86, Clarence and Stephen were back in action live-ish from the Women's National Team Open program, which was also here in Colorado Springs. They sat down with now three-time friend of the pod, three-time Olympian, Olympic gold medalist and MVP, and U.S. Women's National Team outside hitter Jordan Larson. What else can we say? We only had a short time with Jordan as she had a heavy schedule at the Open program, also known as Volleypalooza, as Kirch likes to call it. She talked about preparing for the season, visiting the Open program, and some of her goals for this year, which, we're hoping certainly includes Paris. Check it out on the podcast and watch the video episode on YouTube and the USA Volleyball website. You can watch it or listen to it, but if you watch it, you can see the beautiful faces of Clarence, Stephen, and Jordan. Now it's time for the news with Hughes.
All right. As a reminder, you guys, registration is open for the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship, Girls 18s Junior National Championship, 11s and 13s, and 14s through 17s, in addition to our open national championship for adults, and a lot along with our beach nationals. A whole lot of registrations are opening up too, so make sure you register for all the events that apply to you, your team, and your club, et cetera, et cetera. And don't miss your chance to become the next national champion. Also, Pro Volleyball Federation's inaugural season is underway. There are weekly matches streaming for free. You can see some of our national team athletes like Kendall White or friend of the pod, Morgan Hintz. Make sure you tune in so you don't miss any of that action over there. Love having even more pro volleyball in the United States. We love it. Soon, you'll be able to watch it all year long. Tickets are available for the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame being held on May 22nd in Columbus, Ohio. Join USA Volleyball as we celebrate all-time greats such as Kathy DeBoer, Carl McGown, Dane Blanton, Robin Amo, and another friend of the pod, Reed Pretty. Tickets are on our website and available, so make sure you purchase and you plan on attending. The FIVB Beach Pro Tour is back and in action. Going on right now in Doha, Qatar, the Elite 16 Doha through March 9th. Tune in to volleyballworld.tv to watch those matches. Follow along all of the action on USA Volleyball social medias. For more on the latest news, you know you can visit usavolleyball.org. Free. Now, on today's show, we had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Justine Wong Orantes as she talks about how she was introduced to the game of volleyball, playing both on the beach and indoor side of things. She also shares with us her Olympic experience and leading up to the Tokyo Games. You can also, listen to Justine talk about the upcoming 2024 U.S. Women's National Team season, talking about joining the new League One Volleyball, almost says Volleyball Federation, excuse me, we're joining a new League One Volleyball organization and so much more there. But again, that's enough from us. Let's jump right into our conversation with Justine. All right, well, let's get things kicked off. Very easy question we like to ask all of our first-time guests here, too. I think we know historically you have a very, very family-oriented, very family-centric volleyball background, but how would you specifically describe your introduction to the game of volleyball?
Yeah, well, I would also agree that my family is very well-known in the volleyball world. They have just always like lived and breathed volleyball. And so that's kind of all I've ever known. And at a young age, around 6 years old is when I started to get introduced with my dad. He was a local coach at Long Beach City College. And he took me to a camp with him. And me just being super curious, wanted to know what the game was and was always asking someone to pepper with me. And so I was never shy about that. And the more and more that I guess, exposed myself to volleyball and my parents exposing me to volleyball is when I started to grow to love it. And so they enrolled me in club volleyball at Mizuno Long Beach. And my dad was a coach there. And later on, my brother ended up playing there. And so we were always around that gym and just those people, Joy and as you guys might know, Matt Fearbringer, who's on the men's side, they are the co-directors of that club. And so it became a family to me. And I actually spent 10 years there playing at that club. And they just opened a lot of doors for me and kind of allowed me to grow as a person and as a volleyball player. And so it was a really cool environment to be in. And it's very rare, I feel like, nowadays that people stick to one club as a youth athlete. And so I was very fortunate in that sense.
Yeah. So fun fact, I actually grew up in Long Beach as well. I grew up on over on the north side, and I went to Jordan High School. I didn't play club volleyball. I got introduced to the game a little too, late for that. But I mean, yeah, I love hearing about Long Beach City College and just all the, Long Beach, all that stuff. It's really cool. Yeah. When did you kind of figure out that kind of volleyball is something you love, or that hook that just kind of got you kind of going and, that realization you should even play at the next level?
Yeah, I think so. Growing up when I was 8 to maybe like 15 years old, I was doing both volleyball and soccer. And I think it was just, you know, soccer is that one sport for me that I was like, oh, let me just do it to stay, you know, active. And it was really fun for a while. And then it was at that 15, 16 year old mark where I was like, okay, I need to choose because I'm traveling for both. And which one do I really am loving and what do I want to pursue more? And that was volleyball. So I would say around that time was when I was like, okay, let me commit myself fully to the sport. And I really want to see where I can go with volleyball. And it was just so fun. I mean, I was playing on the beach, I was playing indoor. And so it was basically all year round. And I just grew to love it more and more.
Mm-hmm. I think we were going to ask if you played both simultaneously, beach and indoor, and then what made you pick indoor over beach?
Yeah, that one's a tough question, only because, you know, growing up in California, you have the pretty beaches, and I was always at the beach. I mean, every summer you would see me there every day, whether it was like just being there with my friends or actually playing volleyball. And I had a partner, Sarah Hughes, who is now with Beach USA Volleyball and going for her first Olympics. Me and her were actually beach partners. And then we were also indoor volleyball teammates. And so it was so easy to be around her. And we were always, you know, just on the beach and on the volleyball court. And so being around her, it was so fun to play beach. But I think for me, the indoor game and having multiple positions and just a lot more of a, you know, there's just like this ultimate goal that everyone has to play together. And there's this team mission that we want to be successful and you have to kind of put all these pieces together. For me, that was, I connected well with that. And so that I wanted to pursue. And, I loved beach volleyball. I loved what the game taught me for indoor volleyball. But at the end, I just really, you know, I loved indoor just a little bit more.
Now, some people might not know, but you went on to play at Nebraska. And then how from there did you make the jump to the national team?
Yeah, so I, around my junior and senior year at Nebraska, I was really just, you know, improving a lot. And our team was super talented. And I just felt like on the mental side of things, I just felt like I was, you know, so confident. And so I feel like that really took me even just a step further in my volleyball game. And at the end of the season for the junior and senior year, I earned All-American honors. And so when you're kind of in that radar, it's when Karch is like, okay, you know, we have you in our vision. And he invited me after my senior year at Nebraska. And so I came out in 2017 of that summer and started with the women's national team. And that transition was different for sure. But I think, you know, looking back, it was never just like this one easy coast. It was a lot of ups and downs, but I'm super thankful for it. And I mean, I'm sure we'll touch on it a little bit, but it's just something that I always like reflect back on. And I'm like, wow, I'm so thankful for it.
Was it something that was always a goal of yours, or was it not until Karch like brought it up that you were on the radar that you were like, oh, wait a second, this might be fun?
Yeah, I think in the back of my mind, it was always on my radar. However, when I was younger, I was playing setter in club volleyball. And so it was a little bit of a hurdle for me to like finally get to that, like, I guess that vision or just like that mindset that I'm like good enough to be, you know, at a high level and on the U.S. women's national team. So that was like at Nebraska, that was always like a struggle for me. It's like, okay, am I good enough? How do I get there? What do I need to do to get there? And so once, you know, junior, senior year, I think it was, you know, the help of like my teammates too, and being so talented, but I was like, okay, well, yeah, maybe I can do this.
Mm-hmm. And then do you remember your first competition with the national team and what that was like?
I believe it was in Grand Prix, the former Volleyball Nations League. And that one was super fun because we had a bunch of like rookies and everyone was just trying to figure it out. And we were all like nervous and also excited as well. But it was our first tournament, you know, post Rio Olympics. So we were like, all right, let's kind of all stick together and do what we can for each other.
Can you talk through the, I guess, the nerves or what the atmosphere is like from when you first walked into, you know, your first national team practice and then compared to what it's like now?
Yeah, I think I cried at the end of the first week. I was like, this is so overwhelming. I don't know what I'm doing. And it was just, I mean, for me, it was, I guess I didn't realize how much of a transition it was going to be from college life to professional life. I mean, everything is pretty much independent. I mean, you have resources, of course, with, you know, like athletic trainers, nutrition, all these things, coaches, da da da. But like, it's really up to you for you to like go and seek that help. Whereas like in college, I feel like all that is kind of laid out on the table for you, and you're kind of like, you know, it's suggested that you like go and do this. But those first couple of weeks, I was like, okay, yeah, I need to really do this on my own and really get myself in check. And so that part was overwhelming for me. But once I got it down and, you know, with the help of teammates, coaches, and like just knowing that like I wasn't the only one going through that alone was definitely, it put my mind at ease a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Be really quick. I still want to stay on this. Like, what are some things? I know a lot of the, you mentioned, you know, teammates, getting yourself kind of in line and on track with the, you know, adjustment. A lot of that's probably mental too. What are some, what are some specific things that you did to, you know, kind of either reset yourself or just kind of realign yourself in like what you needed to do with your goals and intentions with the national team? You know, this could be, you know, helpful for anyone.
Yeah. I think, for me personally, I think it was just talking with my family and my loved ones. And like, of course, there's going to be reassurance from them. But I think it's for me, like the sacrifice too, that like I have to be, you know, for example, right now I'm in Germany playing and I'm away from my family. I'm away from my fiance. And it's just, you go back to those little things and they're not really little things. They're big things that you're sacrificing for, that ultimately is, you know, going to hopefully set you up to make a roster or make an Olympic roster. And so for me, it was reflecting back on that and just knowing what the bigger picture was. I know sometimes it's really hard to look at the bigger picture because it seems so far away. But I think once you like look at those little things that you can, you know, really accomplish in the short term, then that definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
I know you talked a lot about this around Tokyo, but you were cut from the 2018 World Championship team. Mm-hmm. And I know that was a difficult time for you. Can you talk a little bit about that and just how you came back from that?
Yeah. I feel like at first, like when I would get this question, I would be so like shy to answer it. But now, like reflecting back and just knowing that that year was such a pivotal moment in my career, I'm like so open to talking about it because I want like younger athletes to know is that even at the high level, there are going to be some struggles and there are going to be decisions that you may not like, but it's how you respond to that. And for me, it was, I mean, a huge response because in that moment, we didn't know that, you know, the pandemic was going to come and like 2021 wasn't going to be the Olympic year. And so I was thinking, okay, well, I'm cut from, you know, the World Championship roster. Now I only have one more year. And so it was a lot of like, okay, I need to really check myself. What do I want to do? Do I want to be on the national team anymore? And so, that whole fall and then going into the next summer was huge. Just, you know, grind to like get in the gym. I stayed back and was training with the USA coaches all that fall, all that spring. And then also like lifting four times a week. So I felt like physically I was the strongest I've ever been. And so I think in hindsight, like that was such a good reflection year for myself and just for my career and what I needed. And I think, you know, sometimes you don't realize maybe what your goals are, like what your end goal is until like something like that so big happens to you. And so, yeah, for me, I'm super grateful for it. And I would do it again. I mean, it definitely woke me up for sure.
Do you have any, just say any words of wisdom or advice for, say, an athlete that it could be not exactly in your position or maybe in a similar situation to where, you know, first time around, it didn't go their way. And, you know, they may be kind of looking down on things and kind of in that kind of, I don't want to say negative headspace, but more of that just, you know, what's next for me and how can I get out of this?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would, for me, and maybe some people can be different, but I think also like writing down goals is huge to just see it on paper and seeing like what short-term goals and what long-term goals, because those can be very different. And so sometimes like seeing it on a piece of paper or however you may, like on your phone or something like that, sometimes that kind of gets it out of your head and like something visually that you can see is super helpful. And to me, like it's super attainable. And so, that's one way, one strategy that can work or, you know, talking about it too. I feel like younger athletes maybe don't know how to seek help. And so that can be one just, missing question because they don't know exactly where to go. And so I think, you know, a friend, a parent, a teammate, anyone that's willing to listen can also be someone that can steer you in the right direction or just, you know, get in your ear to listen.
So on a definite more positive note there, I mean, I think it all, we love talking about, you know, full circle moments and, you know, all that stuff that just kind of applies into just overcoming from, you know, all the hard work and the negative times that kind of happened there too. I mean, you've had a chance to be part of literal history with winning gold in Tokyo and competing, you know, with the team at the Olympic and Paralympics there. Can you talk us through what, you know, your experience was like there, what it felt being on the podium, what it felt like just, you know, taking the gold for, you know, for that moment in history.
Yeah. It's crazy to hear that we've made history because I often like forget because when you're there in the present moment, you're just like, oh my gosh, you're trying to soak in everything. And, but yeah, like reflecting back, it really is super cool. And it's also super cool to know like what we did beforehand leading up to the Olympics. We worked a lot on ourselves and our culture for our team. And so I think that was the most, like that part was more rewarding because like we felt like we put in the work off the court and it truly translated on the court. And we talked a lot about just like embracing each other and like embracing like our roles. And that team was phenomenal at that. And just like providing help wherever was needed. And it was so fun. Oh my gosh. I think, if anyone has a chance to go, you know, see the culture in Japan, it's super cool and how they are so, you know, organized. They're so welcoming. They're so warm to everyone. And, yeah, it was the only sad part was, of course, like not having family and friends. But every part outside of that was truly, truly amazing. I mean, Tokyo did an amazing job at the Olympics.
You were such a star in Tokyo. I mean, you were flying around on the court. I totally remember the gold medal game. I remember tweeting out, is anybody else seeing Justine just like everywhere on this court? Did you feel like you were at peak performance at that point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hope I can, you know, implement that like every time I play, but I just felt like I just feel like truly like our team did everything that we could off the court. And so like it just felt like so freeing to play. Like I felt not nervous at all, which was so weird because it was my first Olympics ever. And we were playing, like, our pool was so hard and we were opening, like, well, we played Argentina first, but then the second match was China. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should be so nervous for this match. But for some reason, I'm not. And I feel like that was a true testament to, like, what our teammates were saying off the court, just like playing for each other and just really like supporting one another. And so for that, like, I commend them. And I'm just, it was really easy to play on the court.
And what was it like to find out you'd made the team after everything you'd been through when you finally got that confirmation that you were on the Olympic team?
It was so emotional. I mean, it was so emotional because it was during a VNL tournament in the bubble that year. And we were a group of 20, I believe, and only 12 could go. And so we had to see who was going to make the final roster, but we were in separate rooms. And so it was just like, of course, you wanted to be happy, you know, for yourself for making it, but you couldn't go and immediately tell someone because we were in a bubble and we were in separate rooms. So it was honestly like such a weird feeling because we were so isolated. But I did get to call my mom like immediately after. And so that was a special moment between us and just telling her for the first time. And she was so happy for me. So that was really cool. Yeah.
Has your life changed at all since, you know, kind of winning gold and, you know, something as small as, you know, being seen out in public and, you know, people kind of recognize you there or, you know, overseas, just, you know, any significant changes to anything?
I wouldn't say so much. I mean, I feel like now the sport is growing and growing that you see like a lot of teams and college teams like getting a ton of attendance and breaking records and things like that. So I feel like, I don't know if it was per se like the us winning the gold medal, but I feel like that was kind of like a spur in, you know, like the college or in volleyball in general. So I would say like in a whole, like the sport has definitely, you know, been put on the map. Mm-hmm.
So you're in Germany. I know. Do they treat you a little differently since you have a gold medal? Has it been easier to find jobs overseas?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Yeah.
Well, how are things going? How is life as a professional volleyball player overseas?
Super fun. I think what I enjoy and what I really like embrace overseas is just like the different cultures and meeting different people from around the world. I think for me, that's super cool because I would never get to do that with any other job. And so I really try to embrace that aspect of it. And also getting to travel around the world. Like this year, I'm playing a Champions League with my club team. And so it's really cool to be able to, we got to go to Istanbul, we got to go to Slovenia. And so I'm really excited to, we have actually our second round, we play tomorrow and then finish up one more match in pool play. So it's super exciting to get to like do stuff like that and be able to see the world in a different lens.
Mm-hmm. So we know you've played for a couple, you know, clubs in Germany specifically. Can you talk us through your current club and why you chose them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I played for SC Potsdam. And for me, I love the German league. I think the competition is really good. And for liberos, it's a really stable league. And also, the location that I'm in right now is beautiful. I mean, in Potsdam, it's really great. And it's 30 minutes outside of Berlin. So we get that small city feel. But also, if you wanted to go to a bigger city, you have Berlin just like a short train ride away. And so, and the transportation here in Germany is A1. It really is great. And so, so I think for me, the German league has always been such a stable league for me. And so when I got an offer, I was like, yes, for sure. And then it's also a bonus that they play in Champions League this year.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those that, you know, like there's always good and bad, highs and lows. What are some of those, you know, highs and lows with playing overseas overall? I know your location's really good. You get to play in the Champions League. And you mentioned, you know, being a stable lead for Liberos, which I have, you know, another follow-up question there. But let's talk about those, a little bit of those kind of highs and lows.
I would say the high is being in a stable league. Like Germany, usually like you have no problems with salary or any finances. They're really professional in that sense. And also there's no foreigner limit. So in some leagues like Italy, Turkey, the Asian leagues, you have a foreigner cap. And so Germany doesn't. And so that usually means that there's a ton of Americans that come over. And so, for example, here I'm playing with two other Americans, and across the German league, there's tons. And so when you play against an opponent, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so-and-so. And you get to go and introduce yourself or say hi and hang out. And so that also brings a sense of home whenever you're playing.
It's my cat, PK. He likes to show up on some interviews.
But yeah, so it's super nice that Germany is very like, it's just very modern, like where you're living. Like, for example, groceries is never a problem. People usually speak English here, which is great. And it's a really nice place to live.
Now talk about your next step, which is with League One volleyball. Why did you choose that amongst the leagues, all the leagues that are popping up? And what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so League One, back in like 2020, I had a connection with a friend from high school that has been involved with League One. And she was like, hey, what would you think about, you know, professional volleyball in America? And I was like, yes, of course. Like, who wouldn't? And so we had been in talks since back then. And I've been a part of them ever since, and been a part of the Athletes Love Council. And so I'm really, really excited. I think just now with the addition of Love being announced, and we have Pro Volley and we also have Athletes Unlimited, I just think that is so exciting for the sport, and especially in America. And I hope that, you know, even like foreigners in Europe and elsewhere, like they are also seeing that excitement, and maybe we can attract them to come to America. But because I do really think like we have so many talented athletes in college volleyball, and, you know, unfortunately, some of them don't want to continue because they don't want to play outside of America. And so hopefully this allows people to continue their career and just prolong it, and really have so much competition in America. And I really just am so excited for the future.
Well, can you talk a little bit about your specific team? I know there's six getting ready to, you know, get the inaugural season started, preseason's in November, and regular season starts in January of 25. Mm-hmm. But I think you're on a very exciting team in a very exciting city. So can you go ahead and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I will be playing for Love Omaha. And so I am super excited to go back to Nebraska. Not excited for the cold part, but I'm really excited. I know, I thought I was going to be done with cold weather, but okay. I really am excited. Nebraska, I mean, as you guys have probably seen on everything Nebraska, they're just selling out all these records. Yeah. They had an amazing record in the fall. And so to go back and be a part of a state that like truly just like idolizes volleyball, it's so cool to see. And I really hope that we can like keep going with that path. And yeah, I'm excited to return because I still have so many like special people in my heart that are there. And so I'm really excited for it. Mm.
Was it fun to watch Nebraska this season? I know you were up on the video board at the big game. You couldn't be there because of Norseca, I think. But
yeah,
you and Jordan both did video messages to the crowd, and then just watching their fantastic season.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately they didn't quite
I know
make it all the way, but was it fun to watch them this season?
Yes. Oh my gosh. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be good for a very long time. So I'm really excited. And I hope that they don't get discouraged by the end of their season, because they really are going to be so good for the next 3-4 years. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. Whoopsie.
What are your thoughts on just the sellout crowd at the football stadium? Like that's insane. I just kind of talking about it now and thinking back on it. So what are your personal thoughts on just, you know, how that's applied to the growth of volleyball?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like shocked, but then I wasn't, because I was like, okay, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Nebraska. I was really bummed that like we couldn't be a part of it, just because, I mean, it was something in history making. And so, but I'm happy that we got to see it from afar, but it was just like the attention to detail, like to every last minute. And they truly like made it seem like it was this event that was like they expected to make history books. And so I think that kind of standard and expectation that Nebraska volleyball and just like the state of Nebraska exhibits, like that is what we need for the sport. And I'm really happy that it's continuing along. Like I always see like on social media, like, okay, now Wisconsin, you know, made an attendance record, and so-and-so made it, I think like Iowa or something. But like, there's just so many different schools that are like jumping on board. And it's really exciting for the sport, because I feel like now it's getting more exposure, and that's really what we need. And it's the viewership that at first, like, at least when I was back in college, it was like, okay, well, you know, what channel are we going to be on? And now it's like the finals is on ABC. I was like, that is so cool. And yeah, there's just so many like little like TikToks or whatever, like so many people, like football players are getting involved with volleyball. Like there's just so many people. I'm like, okay, this is what we're talking about. This is what, you know, volleyball is a real hype. And so I it's really cool to see for sure. Mm-hmm.
When you played at Nebraska, your jersey number was 4, and on the national team, your jersey number is 4. Is there any significance to the number 4 for you, or is it just what you were given?
No, it has significance. My dad was number 4 when he was playing, and so I took that jersey. And then my brother actually was 5 for like the longest time, and he was it was after my mom, because she was always number 5 when she was playing. So it was cool. I had my dad's number, my brother had my mom's number.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I know we're kind of getting towards the, you know, tail end of our questions here. And, you know, kind of before we kind of, you know, wrap things up, you know, you're engaged and, you know, you have a wedding, you know, kind of in the planning process stages of late October. How is that going? You know, wedding planning, especially around a busy schedule like yourself, can be insane. So you want to talk us through just, you know, how's that going for you?
Yeah. We are currently in the process of sending our save the dates. And we've got like our venue down. We have our DJ. We actually just hired a violinist to play at cocktail hour. So I'm really excited about that. And yeah, just little things we're starting to check off. But yeah, I feel like I need to like set a like deadline for everything, because before I know it, it's going to be here. And so, it's really helpful that Andrew, my fiance, is like back home, and he's like, okay, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. And so it's been really, he's been really helpful with it.
Mm-hmm. You have to have a lot of support planning a wedding overseas. I know that.
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that kind of, you know, wraps things up on our end. Do you have anything else you just maybe want to, you know, let the listeners know about? Maybe something that we left on the table, or just anything along the lines there too? I think this has been a really cool conversation.
Yeah, no, I think we've hit it all. I think maybe we can start Talking about BNL, since we're getting to host 1 week, that would be cool. Like, because last year, they really showed up. The fans really showed up in Arlington. So that was super cool to see.
Mm-hmm. You will. You'll be back in Arlington in 2024. Not for the finals, but for 1 weekend.
Yeah.
Are you getting excited for VNL? Are you getting excited to be back in red, white, and blue?
Yes, for sure.
It's going to be a busy 2024 for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, where can, you know, listeners follow you on, you know, social media or, you know, follow along your journey playing overseas or League One or literally everything in between? Where can people keep up with your life? You know?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Jay Wongarantes, and also League One Volleyball to look at any more updates about the league. Or also we have a website. LOBB.com is the website, and that's just a lot of more information about cities, founding athletes, when we're launching, all of that. And of course, more details will come as we go on into 2024. I can't believe we're a week in to 2024.
I know, hitting the ground running.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your super busy schedule. You know, we know overseas is tough planning and you got a lot going on, you know, wedding, volleyball, everything in between personally too. But we really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, sit down and have an interview with us too. I think we think this is a great conversation for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Justine.
All right. See you guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Curtis. Bye, Laura. Bye, Severn.
Bye, Justine. Thank you. Thanks again, Justine, for taking time to join us on the show. Clarence, I just think Justine's story is so inspirational and should be something that young volleyball players can really learn from not being on the team in, you know, 2018 and 2019 to making it onto the Olympic team and competing in 2021 and winning a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't make the team, but it doesn't mean you should give up. It means, you know, maybe you need to go back and work harder.
I know. I 100% agree with that. I mean, you guys heard it in the interview and you've seen her play, do the talking for her across the board, from the national team to, you know, her performances in college and also, you know, at the highest level there as well too. And, I think to, you know, hear that and then also really just take in the fact that, she's such a key proponent to, you know, the team winning gold in Tokyo during that and just having, you know, a great head on her shoulders, a great mentality. Like you said, BJ, her being able to bounce back from, you know, some adversity in life. It's really a testament to what she has done and continues to do as an athlete and just representative of the women's national team. And it also makes me so very excited to see, you know, what she's able to bring to the table for the team going into 24. Like I said, Paris is going to be very exciting and it's just going to be, you know, all eyes on you kind of thing. So I really can't wait to see, you know, how the season goes. I can't wait to see what BNL is like and, you know, just going to be a spectator from the outside looking in, but just can't wait for sure. I think with that being said, again, Justine, thank you so much for taking the time to interview with us, taking some time out of your busy schedule, and we wish you the best of luck this season. With that being said, I think it's now time for some upcoming events.
Yeah, here we go. The second weekend of the 2024 Sunshine Classic Girls National Qualifier will be March 8 through 10 in Orlando. I think you can see Clarence there if you look hard enough.
Currently in our fishers lounge, just hanging out, you know.
There you go. The 2024 Northeast Girls Qualifier and 18s Qualifier will be March 8 through 10th in Philadelphia. USA Volleyball Beach Tour, the Florida Coquino Beach National Qualifier, March 9 and 10 in Holmes Beach, Florida. The USA Volleyball Beach Tour Lone Star Austin Juniors National Qualifier will be March 9 through 10 in Cedar Park, Texas. And Sierra Girls 18s National Qualifier, March 16 through 18 in Sacramento. Good luck to all the athletes and clubs competing, and find more details about upcoming events at usavolleyball.org.
All right, now on to the pro side of things. First, like we mentioned in the beginning of the episode, we have the Beach Pro Tour Elite 16 in Doha that is going on right now. We also have the Beach Pro Tour Futures in Mount Mangere in New Zealand happening March 5th through the 9th. Up next after that, we have the Beach Pro Tour Futures again in Coolangatta Beach from March 20th through the 24th in Australia. Good luck to all of the athletes competing and safe travels to these very, very, very unique destinations. Check out usavolleyball.org for men's and women's national team updates from their pro leagues as well. Remember, listeners, you can rate, review, share this podcast with your friends, families, teammates, and everyone else in between, because it really helps this podcast grow and reach vastly new listeners. Make sure you check out our video episodes on our website and on YouTube. We thank you all for your continued support. It is so much appreciated, you guys. If you know of a club that should be featured or a story you want us to share, make sure you email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Leave us feedback. Again, let us know how we're doing. Let us know about any other future topics you want us to get on the podcast and guests. We can do our best to make sure we bring it up. New episodes drop every other week. And until then, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.